Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus. We hope that today's message will help and inspire you in your faith journey.
You know, there's a true story about a boy who stepped onto a battlefield and changed the fate of a nation. And he did this all by doing and being faithful in small things. We learn about this boy that he wasn't a soldier. He had no rank. In fact, he wasn't even supposed to be on the battlefield. He was only there because his dad had sent him on an assignment. That assignment being, here is a basket full of bread and cheese. Take it to your brothers and bring back a report to me from the battlefield. So off he goes. And as he gets there, he sees that there's absolute silence in the battlefield. There's an army on this hill. The other army in this hill, and there's a valley down below. And in that valley, only one person was speaking. In the midst of the silence, it was only broken by one voice, a voice that belonged to this massive, giant warrior. And the whole time, he was taunting the armies that he was up against. And as he's taunting them, he wasn't just taunting them, but he was also taunting their God. And while he was doing this, the army that he was taunting, they soldiers, seasoned soldiers, were trembling in their boots and they weren't saying anything back to him. So they realized right there and then of how fearful and how petrified they were. But this boy saw things differently. He looked at the man and this warrior up in the field. He saw him there in the valley taunting and tormenting. And while he was looking at him, he was comparing him to the lions and the bears that he had fought in unseen places. He was looking at his size and he was looking at the size of the bears and he was thinking about the size of the lions. And he was thinking, I have fought bears and lions much bigger than this soldier right here in unseen places, doing small things repeatedly, week in, week out, day in, day out. And I'm looking at this guy and I'm seeing that he's no bigger than those lions and bears that I won against every single time. So he goes over to the king and he says, don't worry about this Philistine. I'll take him on. No one speaks to my God like that and gets away with it. So the king decides, okay, cool, go for it. Can I give you my personal armor at least? Can't just go in there like empty-handed. Can you take my personal armor? The boy decides he's not going to take any of that because he decides instead to stick with what he already knew, to stick with what he had faithfully used week in, week out, day in, day out. So in that moment, he goes down into the valley, picks out his slingshot, picks up five smooth stones. And it was at this moment that the boy named David, unarmed, makes eye contact with the giant named Goliath. And Goliath says this, am I a dog, he roared at David, that you come at me with a stick? And he cursed David by the names of his gods. Come over here and I'll give your flesh to the birds and wild animals, Goliath yelled. David replied to the Philistine, you come to me with sword, with spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Today, the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head. And then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with sword and spear. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us. As Goliath moved closer to attack, David quickly ran out to meet him, reached into his shepherd's bag, and taking out a stone, he hurled it with his sling and hit this Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank in, and Goliath stumbled and fell down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with only a sling and a stone. With only a sling and a stone, for he had no sword. Then David ran over and pulled Goliath's sword from its sheath. David used it to kill him and cut off his head. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they turned and ran. This account of David and Goliath is often viewed and is often celebrated as the one time, the rare time that the small would beat the big. The few times when someone small or something small would overcome and be the underdog and beat the big. But what I'd love to invite us to consider today is what if this isn't the rare time that the small beats the big. But what if this is a case study of what happens every time we are faithful with small things? Because David, in that one time where he killed Goliath, was faithful with his sling throwing, and he was celebrated for this one big public moment of impact. But what's not celebrated is all the times he's been quietly, week in, week out, day in, day out, in the fields, practicing his slingshots and his sling throwing. No one celebrates those moments, but it was those moments, those unseen moments, those quiet moments where sheep are baying in the background that led to this one public moment of impact that does get celebrated. And hey, what I'd love for all of us to consider and invite us to consider today is, what if we found out what our slingshot was? What if we find out what our thing is that we can do in the quiet when no one else is watching and looking? And what if that faithful throwing, that faithful practicing can lead to our moments of impact? So that's why today I'd love to invite us to consider how to be faithful in the small things. So as we conclude this series today, let us learn and discover how we can be faithful in the small things. Because what we can begin to realize is that it's the small things, the small habits, the small disciplines, the small decisions, the small routine things that we do week in, week out, that can lead to the big public moments of impact that everyone celebrates. But it all starts with the small things. And the reason why it's so important for us to start with these small things is that because they can so often seem as small and insignificant and really unnecessary in our lives, but it is the small things that repeatedly done, that are consistently done, these small habits and actions that are repeatedly done, that do lead to to who we become. They shape us into who we become. It is the faithful slinging of the stone, the faithful practicing of the slingshot, that lead to the big public moments of impact, that lead and shape us into what we are good at and who we become eventually in our lives. So what we begin to see is that it's the small, consistent habits that lead to massive long-term change. Our massive long-term change starts but as being faithful in the small things. Our massive long-term change starts when we faithfully read God's word day in, day out. It starts when we faithfully decide that I'm going to fast, I'm going to tithe, I'm going to be an encouraging presence in someone's life, I'm going to pray for loved ones when no one else is watching, I'm going to exercise, I'm going to eat healthy, I'm going to be disciplined in my work environment, I'm going to arrive early, I'm going to be the type of person who can be seen and known as somebody who is disciplined and faithful. When we are faithful with all those little things, day in, day out, as insignificant they may feel, day in, day out, what they lead to is the massive long-term change. And eventually everyone celebrates. Whoa, how amazing is that? It is the moments that our Goliath beating moments, and we all have the Goliaths in our lives. It is those Goliath beating moments that everyone celebrates, but it all starts with the small quiet moments and faithfully in the unseen that no one else sees. And what I'd love to invite us to consider today is how we can be the people who can do that and build that in our lives. How is it that we can build and be faithful in the small things? So there are two questions in order to do this that we should answer in our lives on how it is that we can be the types of people who are faithful in the small things. And the order matters. The order matters. The first question is, who am I becoming? Who am I becoming? It's an important question because it's an identity question. James Clear, the author of Atomic Habits, he writes this. He says, your habits shape your identity and your identity shapes your habits. Massive thought that. In other words, and another way of seeing it is that it is the things that we repeatedly do day in, day out, week in, week out. It's those repeated things that reinforce how we see ourselves. So it is the things that we often can think to ourselves that they are that they're unnecessary and they're not important, that eventually are become the things that shape who we are, how we see ourselves, and how we speak about ourselves to other people as well. So we can often be in a situation or environment where we think to ourselves, I'm an undisciplined person. So therefore, what's the point of keeping a calendar? What's the point of eating healthy? What's the point of exercising? What's the what's the point of trying to keep an agenda in my life? Because I'm undisciplined. My dad was undisciplined. My grandfather before him was undisciplined. So it's in my genes. So how can I change? It's just who I am. And then the habits reinforce that identity. Or we can think to ourselves, I've just got an addictive personality. So I may as well watch that video again. I may as well pick up that drink again because that's just who I am. I'm going to do it again anyway. That identity is reinforced by the habits that we do. And the reason why it's so important for us to start here is because it is those habits and it is those it is that identity that if it's not defined and it's not seen properly, it can lead to a moment where we can self-sabotage our lives. Craig Rochelle puts it like this by saying, our distorted identity sabotages our success. How we view ourselves matters so much. It is so, so important because it undergirds the habits that we do, the things that we, the lifestyle that we live. It's undergirded simply by how we see ourselves. Because if we see ourselves as bad, all of a sudden everything we do will just become bad. Or if we say to ourselves, I'm a failure or I failed, what we eventually see ourselves as a failure. And then all of a sudden, we keep repeating the cycle and repeating the habits. So it's so important for us to start and to consider, who am I becoming? Because who am I becoming, whether it's good or bad, will determine what are the habits that I eventually do in my life. We see this in the life of David. David, long before Goliath, was anointed by the prophet Samuel to be the next king of Israel. That anointing shaped his identity. It shaped everything about him going forward. It shaped him because it determined one of the habits going forward. Because if you think about it, what does a king do? A king protects, a king provides, a king is willing to sacrifice for themselves, for others. A king stands in the gap between God and the people. And the king upholds God's covenant amongst the people. So is it any wonder that David's habits included protecting sheep, providing for sheep, being good at writing psalms so that he can build an intimacy between the God, between himself and the God who he's going to represent before the people? And is it any wonder that he became exceptionally good at knowing God's word back to front so that he knows what it is he's upholding? So when by the time Goliath comes, what does David do? Wrong question. Who does David show himself to be? He shows himself to be a king in the making. He protects, he provides, he stands in the gap between God and the people, and he upholds God's covenant in that moment. In that moment, all of his habits come alive, and he becomes to think to himself, I am a king in the making. Therefore, what I do right now is shaped by that identity. And the same is true for us. Who we are becoming, who I'm becoming, who you're becoming, that identity in which we see ourselves will go forward and shape everything that we do. It will shape our next steps from there. So maybe up until now, you've been thinking to yourself, I want to be a person who's got the habit of eating healthy and of not drinking soft drinks. Maybe you're thinking to yourself, I'm the kind of person who wants to save 2,000 rand a month so that I can save for the future. These are great what goals. What I'd love to invite us to consider today is to change them into who goals, into who am I becoming goals. So instead of saying, I want to save 2,000 rand a month, what about saying, I want to become the kind of person who is financially stable and who has financial freedom. And that person with that identity will become the kind of person who can build into their lives the capacity to save 2,000 rand a month. Instead of saying that I want to be a person who eats healthy and doesn't drink junk food and exercises, what about having a who vision for our lives where we decide to think, I want to be the kind of person who is so healthy that by the time my grandkids have their wedding, I am there on the dance floor breaking it down. And everyone else is going, go Grams, go Grams. And that person will have the capacity today to eat healthy, to exercise, and to lead towards that. Even when it comes to our faith, you know, instead of saying, I want to read God's word, I want to fast once a day, you know, every breakfast, I don't eat, you know, instead of saying, like, I want to be the kind of person who prays and meditates for like 8 hours a day, you know, instead of starting there with what goals, what if we start with the who goal? I want to be a person who bees with Jesus, becomes like Jesus, and who does what Jesus does. That's who I want to be. And that person will naturally have goals and will have the discipline and the habits in their lives to do the things of Jesus. So who are we becoming? It's so important for us to start there. No wonder Ephesians 4 verses 22 to 24 tells us, throw off your sinful nature and your former way of life. Throw off your old identity, which is distorted, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Let the Spirit renew your identity. Let the Spirit determine who you are becoming. And put on your new nature. Put it on. Put on the new identity. It's. I love the simplicity of the language. You know, we all chose to put on whatever top we have on today. And it wasn't like a question, like, I wonder if I can pull this off. We just put it on. You know, and so is true with our identity. Whatever new identity which is given to us, which is blessed for us by Christ, we can put it on as easily, as freely, and that's who we can become. So put on your new nature, created to be like God. And what are God's habits? Truly righteous and holy. Who we become is the first and most important starting point in our lives, because it determines from there on what we must do. So can I invite us to consider today who we are becoming? By answering the question, by looking at simply all throughout the week to come, you know, it's just by maybe praying about it. It's worth praying about, maybe even fasting about it, because it is worth fasting about. And asking ourselves a question, who is it that I want to become? And write it down. Who is it that I want to become over what is it that I want to do? Because when we start to write that down and to start to have a clear vision of that, of who we are becoming, everything else begins to make sense thereafter. And then from there, we begin to pray about it. Because who knows that it can be so hard to shake off an old identity and to receive a new one. So instead of just trying to do it in our own strength, let's rely on the strength that God can provide through prayer. So we pray into it. Say, Lord, help me to become a person who bees with you, becomes like you, and does what you do, Lord. And at the same time, help me to believe it. Help me to believe it in my core. And when we do that, we begin to see that a new identity is forming, a new identity is shaping, and that identity can be the backdrop of what we do going forward. I remember when our firstborn Jude was months away from being born, I was like scrambling, research, like trying to find out what does a great dad do? Like left it too late. It's a month to go. Like panicking here. And while in the middle of this panic, the Holy Spirit just kindly just dropped into my spirit that, you know what? You're starting at the wrong place. Instead of asking, what does a great dad do? Work on being a good man who is consistent, safe, encouraging, challenging, and who is present. And then from there, you'll be a father who does all those things. Like, oh, thank you. And right there and then, he was kind enough to let me know, identity first, habit second. What if we all learn to do the same thing? Because now when we start with identity first, it leads to the second question, which becomes, which is on the backdrop, which we can answer on the backdrop of knowing who we are becoming. And that is, what must I do repeatedly? What must I do repeatedly? What must I do repeatedly to be to be a good father? What must I do repeatedly to be a mentally stable father? What must I do repeatedly to be financially stable? What must I do repeatedly in my life so that I know that I am being faithful in the small things? And the best way to start with that and the best way to consider that is to actually, the principle is to start small. Start small. Because by starting big, actually what we're doing is that we're not building the capacity for our lives. It's so important for us to start small and then to build into the big. No wonder Jesus called the kingdom of God a mustard seed, small. He called the kingdom of God a little bit of yeast, small. Because Jesus knows that the small things, faithfully done over time, grows the capacity to become a big thing that can be can handle the weight, the pressure, and the capacity needed for whatever it is that it's called to do. So the same is true for our lives. It's so important for us to start small, to do the small things, and to know what the small things are so that we can grow the capacity for the big. If you look at David, once again, he was faithful with one small slingshot. He was faithful with one harp, faithful with one pen to write psalms with. He was faithful with one herd of sheep. And what did that lead to? Led to him being a big warrior, a big musician, a big psalmist who wrote most of the book of Psalms, and a big king who all the other kings couldn't live up to his legacy. That all started with the small. James Clear puts it so powerfully when he says, changes that seem small and unimportant at first will compound into remarkable results if you're willing to stick with them for years. For years. And that's so important, being willing to stick with them for years. Repetition. We are what we repeatedly do. That's the story of our lives. We are what we repeatedly do. So if we repeatedly do the things that we faithfully want to be, the small things we want to faithfully be good at, that's who we become. So it's so important for us to start there and to realize that that's who we become. Have you ever been in a situation where you've marveled and been so amazed by a person who held it together so well after a huge family loss or after or before going into a major surgery? It's the reason why they held it together so well is because they didn't like all of a sudden decide to hold it together. It's only because they just decided to repeatedly do what they've always done. So if you speak to them, they'll say, I've always worshipped, so I worship now. I've always prayed, so I'm praying now. I've always kept community close, so I'm keeping community close right now. So what we see is that they don't aspire to be something big. They just are faithful with who they've always been. And when the pressure comes, when the moments come, when life squeezes something out of them, who they are is what they repeatedly do, and that's what comes out. And the same is true for us whenever we are under pressure. It's what we repeatedly do that comes out. I know for me, under pressure, that snooze button repeatedly comes out. So what we repeatedly do is what comes out when we're under pressure. So it's so important for us to then consider, what is it that I repeatedly do? And then to be faithful in those things. So what I'd love for us to consider today is, firstly, what Jesus says to us and encourages us with in Matthew 25, verse 21, where he shows us how powerfully he rewards the small things that we do. He says, well done, good and faithful servant, for you have been faithful. You've been faithful with a few things, small things. That's what you've been faithful with, the small things. I will put you in charge of many things, of big things. Jesus honors the small things. He rewards the small faithful steps that we take. So it's so important for us to consider that whatever it is, the small things that we can repeatedly do so that we know that those are the things that he can honor and bless in our lives. So here are a few practical ways, some practical small habits that we can do in our lives that we can repeatedly do and know and trust that Jesus will bless them and the back end of that. Now, they're going to come up on the screen. Disclaimer, they will feel small. They will feel insignificant. They will feel, oh, that's not worth writing down. Oh, that's not worth pulling up my phone for, even though my phone's like already on my lap. Oh, that's not worth clicking the camera button for. Oh, this is so small and insignificant. But what is it about small things? When they're done repeatedly over years, they have a huge, massive impact. So can I invite us, whatever it is that the Holy Spirit's prompting us to consider today, let's not brush it off as, yeah, but let's actually consider, like, okay, I think this is something I can start. It's small, but it can lead to big. You ready for them? When it comes to our spiritual habits, the thing that can be so small but so important for us to do is to think same time and to think ahead of time. Think same time and ahead of time. So in other words, having the same chair, the same table, the same room, same cup of coffee, maybe not same cup of coffee because that could be molded over a period of time, but the same mug, but having the same repeatedly, week in, week out, day in, day out, and pre-selecting whatever Bible verse that you're going to have, thinking ahead, okay, what is the Bible reading plan that I'm going to have? Because whenever we think the same and whenever we think ahead, when the moment comes in the morning when we're waking up and we're thinking, oh, what must I do right now? We're not allowing our emotions to eclipse whatever it is that we want to do in the moment, but actually what we're doing is that we're allowing whatever we've pre-decided on to be the determining factor, and that changes everything. So that's so important for us when it comes to spiritual habits. Think the same and think ahead of time. And when it comes to our emotional habits, I'm not sure if your emotions are like mine, but emotional habits can be like the trolley in Checkers, you know, when all the wheels are going this way and then there's that one. My emotions can be like that. Like, I'm full steam ahead. That's what I'm going to do. That's where my life is going. Then the emotions are like, you know. I know when it comes to emotions, it's so important. I think that something that can help us is to just have some physical cues. Have some physical cues. For example, like taking a 3-second breather before responding next. Because, and then while that's happening, we're thinking to ourselves, is what I'm about to say next going to break the relationship or build the relationship? Then all of a sudden, there you are in the moment with the physical cue, and the spouse or your partner or your friend asks you something, and there you are. That's a great idea, love. Yeah, let's go. So when you're taking those pauses, when you have those physical cues, all of a sudden what we see and what we realize is that we can build our relationships with every interaction. And isn't that so great? And then when it comes to our physical health, can I encourage us to just make it obvious? Make the water bottle or water bottles obvious, you know, like have them like right there in front of your screen, like while you're typing that email, you know, and it's like there, like interfering with whatever you're typing with. Like, okay, fine, I'll drink the water now. You know, just have it obvious. For me, I know I'm the kind of person who hates waking up in the morning and getting changed and going to gym or to go for a run. So what I do is that I just go to bed in my exercise clothes. Beat the middleman, kill the middleman. You know, I'm not feeling cold anymore. I just go out and it's okay, you know. Whatever it is for you to make it obvious, can I encourage us? Let's do that. It makes a huge difference. For our finances, it's so important for us to automate our giving and our saving. And to automate it on payday. Now, a small thing of just making it into a debit order, all of a sudden, our finances are doing the things that they should most importantly do. All of a sudden, our giving to the purposes of God and our saving for our future, the two most important things that our finances can do, all of a sudden, that's taken care of by just making the small habit of just setting a debit order at the start of the month or on payday. And all of a sudden, we see that when Temu comes with their 50,000 ads, which are annoying everywhere, now when that comes, there's not such a big deal about whether we're tussling. All of a sudden, the finances are where they're supposed to be. And then when it comes to our family lives, can I invite us to schedule it, put it in the diary, whatever it is that you value most is worth scheduling and putting on the diary. Because we know that life has a habit of getting in front of us and eating up our family time. But when we decide to be the kinds of people who are going to schedule it, schedule a family night once a week, schedule a family month night once a month, all of a sudden our families get a priority again. And then all of a sudden our kids know and our other members in the household know that we value each other here. It's worth putting in the calendar like everything else that is in the calendar. So can I invite us to do that too? And as we're doing all of this, as we're considering all these small habits that we're doing in our lives, what we're ultimately doing is that we're doing what Galatians 6 verse 9 encourages us. And that is, let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. We will reap a harvest if we do not give up on the small things. We will reap a harvest if we do not give up on discovering who am I becoming. We will reap a harvest as we repeatedly do the small things. We will reap a harvest. We will reap a harvest in our marriages. We will reap a harvest in our finances, in our faith journey with Christ, in our parenting. We will reap a harvest if we do not give up. 500 years after King David, what we see from the nation of Israel is that they became a people who were unfaithful to God in every way possible, to the extent that they got exiled out of the nation of Israel, and they ended up coming back only years later, 70 years later. And when they did come back and step back into their land, they realized that, okay, faithfulness with God is more important than what we ever thought it would be. So they decided to put in first to the rebuilding of the temple, which had been destroyed. And as they were rebuilding it, they paused after they did the foundation and they celebrated. Yes, we've got a foundation. But a few of the older people who had seen the former temple, the more magnificent, glorious temple, they started to cry, like outwardly weep. They started to cry and saying, this is nowhere near as glorious and as big as the former temple. This is a poor imitation, which means our faith journey going forward and our faithfulness going forward is also going to be poor. So they started to cry about that. And as they were weeping and crying about that, all of a sudden that discouragement was starting to seep into the rest of the nation. And it was at that moment that the prophet of the day, Zechariah, had a word of encouragement to the people then, which is the same word of encouragement to us right now, whenever we feel like we're going to be discouraged by doing and starting small things. And that word of encouragement was, do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. Do not despise the small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. The Lord rejoices to see the work begin in your marriage. The Lord rejoices to see the work begin in your faith journey. The Lord rejoices to see the work begin in your finances. The Lord rejoices to see the work begin in your discipline, in your health, in your relationships, in your career. The Lord rejoices to see the work begin. So please do not despise these small beginnings. The Lord rejoices to see them begin. And there will be a harvest waiting on the other side of every small faithful act repeatedly done. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. For some of us here today, this may be the first time you've been made aware that our God honors small things and our God is faithful in general. And if that's you, what I'd love to do is to invite you into having a relationship with our amazing God. And that we do that whenever we invite Jesus into our lives to be our Lord, Savior, and friend. So what I'd love to invite us to do after I've counted to three in a moment's time is to slip up your hand. And by slipping up your hand, a small decision, what you're doing is that you are starting a massive, incredible, lifelong journey with having Jesus at the center of your life and at the heart of your life as your Lord, Savior, and friend. This Jesus came into our lives and came into the world over 2,000 years ago, died on a cross so that we can have a friendship with God the Father that starts here on earth and carries on into eternity. So the small decision you're making now has a massive impact of bringing heaven on earth in our lives right now and forever into eternity thereafter. So what I'd love to do is to invite you to make the best decision of your life, to invite Jesus into your life and to start this amazing friendship with him. I'd invite you to do that after the count of three. 1, 2, 3. You can slip up your hand if you want to make the best decision of inviting Jesus into your life. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir. In the middle bank, I see your hands. Thank you in the side bank. I see your hands too. Thank you so much. So amazing. Thank you in the left-hand bank as well. Thank you. I see your hands as well. Thank you. Anyone else want to invite Jesus into your life to be your Lord, Savior, and friend? Amazing, amazing, amazing. So what I'm going to do right now is pray a prayer which you can allow to be the language of your heart right now as I pray it. And you can just in the quiet of your heart, just agree with it. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for living for me and for living with me right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that I have the opportunity right now to invite you into my life, in which I do. Please come into my life, Lord. Be my Lord, be my friend, be my Savior. Thank you that I can live a life with you right now. And help me, and please forgive me, Lord, for all the times I've tried to live life my own way. I choose right now to live life with you and to live life for you. And may I see the amazing harvest that comes on the other side of that. In your amazing decision, we pray. In your name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.
We hope that you have been blessed and inspired by this message. For more information on Thrive Church, visit our website. And for more life-giving messages, go and visit our YouTube channel.